This episode is brought to you by The Art of Loving for Women, an online course. Registrations are open now. Head to my website, www.nikkiar.com. This is the Secrets of Spiritual Sex podcast, expanding our experience of sex, intimacy, and relationships with tools, tips, and techniques from industry experts and real-life conversation. I am your host, Nikki Rhodes. Welcome to the Secrets of Spiritual Sex. On this episode, we have the beautiful Michelle Panning, who is an intimacy alchemist. She helps women foster deeper emotional connection with themselves so that when they connect with men or others, there is a heart-centered resonance that's powerful and truthful rather than laden with masks. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so grateful that you're here. I'm just super excited to get chatting with you because your past, on a previous episode, I've spoke to kind of my own journey regarding sexuality and how it was, it sort of stands actually in stark contrast to, I think, what yours did. And so I'd love you to share. You're doing this epic work with women now, but what did your past look like? Like, what was your journey? How did you get there?
Yeah, so like the thought of having emotional intimacy with a man, I would have laughed at a decade ago and been like, no, thank you. I don't want that. I was very much stuck in the cool girl. It's like, it's fine. I don't care. I don't have feelings, whatever. But I started in the sex industry when I was 19, so 11 years ago, and I worked as a stripper. And it's very empowering for a lot of women, but for me, I became very, very, very shut down emotionally and sexually, that I was just living my best life, partying and having fun, and having a lot of casual sex, or having sex with someone and then being like, oh my God, I hope that like things work out and I hope he likes me. And it was the only way that I knew how to get attention, get validation, get love, belonging, acceptance. All of that was through my sexuality. And then when I would try to bring in a little bit of heart, the men that I was with were like, oh, don't want any of that. Which reinforced my beliefs that like, okay, well, the only way I can do this is with my sex. So I've come a long way, and vulnerability is the thing that I tap into the most now. And that's what I work with my clients. But that was not a word in my vocabulary even 5 years ago.
For listeners, I'm sitting here with Michelle. She is, are you 6 foot or maybe like 5'10"?
5'10".
Yeah, she's this stunning Amazonian queen woman. And you're effervescent in your personality. You exude such beauty already, and in a very physical sense, and also, of course, from your heart, I can feel it. But in the club at night, there is a real power play going on, right? And if you're shut down in the heart and you've got this, you're coming forward with your sex, what were you experiencing? What was affirming for you in those evenings when you were dancing?
Yeah, so it was like I got the message that my sex is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And when I started to tap into that, I was like, whoa, I can manipulate and get anything that I want by leading with my sexuality. And I really used it as a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, so at the club, it was like, you know, I'm beautiful. And like, I hate even saying the way that I used to think, but like, I'm beautiful. And, you know, I have all this sexual energy, like pay me. Yeah. And they would. And I was like, yes. And it was, I would feed off it and I would grow. But the second that someone rejected me, said, no, I don't want to dance, and then went off with somebody else. It was like turmoil for me. I was like, oh my God, maybe I'm not attractive. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm shit at making money, all of these things. And so it was such a bloody roller coaster of emotions. And that exact thing would happen outside of the club as well with men that I was dating. It was like when they were onto me, I was loving it. And then as soon as they kind of, you know, did their own thing or wanted space, my whole world would fall apart. So I was very reliant on the reactions of others.
So reliant. And I mean, you're a baby at 19, stepping into this extremely dark world. What did you discover about men in this world?
Yeah. So I really developed quite a bad taste in my mouth for men, actually. And it took me a while to dismantle that because I was, as you spoke about, it's a dark, it's like the underworld.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't necessarily get the most upstanding men coming into the club. And so I was pretty bad with boundaries, and my boundaries would get crossed all the time, mostly because I wasn't telling them that I had them in the first place. But I would project that onto them and be like, you are an asshole and you are the worst. And so I really saw the worst in men. And it wasn't until I did workshops that I was like, whoa, there's actually so much depth to men. And I still stripped for a couple of years after that. I only just quit recently. And it completely changed. Like men, I started to do private work and men would cry in lap dances because they'd say, I've never felt so safe before. And they would tell me about the deepest parts of them. I was like, whoa. So it was what I was perceiving, what I wanted to see, really.
Yeah. Wow. So stripping the environment, reinforced negative beliefs. It was like a convenient way for you to keep yourself distant, keep yourself from doing own inner work by like shoveling off to others, like make me feel better, right? Or show me you love me. And when it wouldn't come back the way you hoped, it can be like, see, I told you. And now for listeners who perhaps aren't in the stripping industry, this exact dynamic can play out in a very average household, right? When we have negative self-beliefs or negative beliefs about men, and perhaps from our father or trauma or, you know, earlier years, and we can subconsciously put these onto our husbands, our partners, our boyfriends, and keep ourselves safe and distant somewhat by saying they're not meeting me, or they're not good enough, or they don't pay attention, or they're not meeting this, right? This can play out in so many different ways. And it's super heightened and super highlighted in a strip club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you were being fed money, you know, so there's that tied in with it, right? So your self-worth was like huge amounts of cash because it's lucrative, right?
Very much so. And I mean, like self-worth is already tied up with money.
Can you speak to that? Yeah.
Yeah. So like so much of when people are doing sales and stuff, oh, I don't think I can charge this much. And who am I to ask for this much money and all of these things? Oh, they asked for a refund. That must mean that I'm terrible or whatever it is. And then, you know, if you do make a certain amount of money, then you're like, oh, I have to get rid of it. I have to spend it and get it out. And that's exactly what I did for a decade. I spent every single cent that I made, because I remember a coach saying to me like, well, yeah, because it's dirty money to you. You don't like how you earned it. And I was like, that doesn't resonate at all. And then looking back on it, I was like, yeah, why is it now that I'm coaching, now I'm retaining money, that I'm saving all of this, that this is the most amount of money I've ever had in my bank account when I was earning, you know, five figures a month. Before in stripping, I would spend all of it. It's so easy to become addicted to it because you work one night and you make $3,000. And then you spend it all because you think you're going to make it again. But it's like, it's so tied up. And when you have a bad night and you don't make any money, you just think you're the, I thought that I was like nothing.
So your relationship to your body, like I said before, you're blessed in many ways, beautiful and tall and able-bodied, right? And healthy. How did you feel about that body of yours, putting it on show? I know you said you had this like superficial, like, yeah, I'll use this beauty and this vagina and this like yoni to like sell, but genuinely, what did you feel like? Was it love, hate?
Yeah. So again, right, when, if I was by myself and in a dance, I'd be like, wow, yes, beautiful. But the comparison to other women is real. And when I was the 19-year-old and I was the new, you know, teenager really on the block, I was like, yeah, I'm hot stuff. And then as I grew older, especially approaching 30, and the new 19-year-olds are coming in, it was like, whoa. And also, I didn't even realize how my body was just completely numb. Like, I couldn't feel anything. Sex wasn't pleasurable for me. It was so mechanical. The lap dances is like, do this move, that looks good. But there's no actual feeling of what's happening. And I wasn't present ever. It wasn't until I started doing this work that I was like, oh my God, wow, is this what a feeling feels like?
Well, in this podcast, we look at spiritual sex, right? Or like conscious intimacy or connection, right? Full stop, connection. What, you know, that you danced for 11 years. What was sex like for you? Say mechanical, lacking presence, painful? Did you say numb?
Yeah. Yeah. Numb, painful. Actually, do you know what? It wasn't until I started to actually do this work and start to wake up my yoni that I started to experience painful sex.
Oh, wow.
It was like, oh, I'm actually connected. So I'm actually registering my lack of boundaries. I'm registering that I'm not fully ready. I'm registering that I'm not aroused. I'm not fully in it. And so now I'm experiencing pain a lot. Before it was like, basically just, yeah, use and abuse me and it's fine. I feel nothing, you know, like, so sex was extremely disconnected. I remember someone saying, I want to look at you in the eyes. And I went, that's disgusting. No way. Don't look at, why would you want to do that? And now it's like the bare minimum.
Yeah. He didn't look at me. All right. He's not even coming into the bedroom, right? We're not even going home.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. This is why I find you so fascinating, because you speak so openly and honestly about this extreme transformation. Like, these are two very different pieces. What was the point that you said, I'm going to book into that really weird sounding, vulnerability provoking workshop? When was that? Yeah. What happened? What was your bottom?
Yeah. So I remember, I had gone to this festival with my partner at the time, and I got a tarot reading, and I wasn't quite sure about this relationship. And she was like, you know what? Like, he fully loves you and sees a future with you. And I was like, oh, great. Wow. And then he broke up with me on the car ride home.
No,
and I was like, but it was just that moment of like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm done with the same thing happening over and over and over again. And then 4 days later, I was in Thailand.
Wow.
And that's what started this whole journey for me. Yeah. And then I got involved in some feminine embodiment workshops. Mm-hmm. And through that teacher, she led me to this workshop all about men, which I thought, oh, how fun. I'm going to learn all about men and how to, probably my thinking was, and I'm going to learn how to trick them and trap them into being with me. And that was the antithesis of what I thought it was going to be. It was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard, but it was one of the most powerful things I've ever done to shift. When I wrote my beliefs out about men, I had, I think, nearly 40 negative beliefs about men.
40 negative beliefs that were just being reinforced week after week, stripping in the environment when men would meet your expectation and reinforce your lack of self-worth, right? So this, yeah. the shadow, your feminine shadow, was out in play, right? She was like manipulating, she was deceiving, she was blocking, she was hooking, she was getting caught in patterns over and over and over and over. How did you get it back on board? How has that journey been looking in? You know, we all have these kind of shadow aspects of our sexuality or our intimacy, and how they play out can look really different for a lot of us. And Michelle kind of turning the light onto it and walking straight towards it is full on and admirable. How's it been for you? What sort of things are you uncovering?
Yeah. So, seeing that dark shadow of the manipulative part of me was like, I knew it well. I knew it like the back of my hand. And the difficult part in getting my feminine to mature and be back on board was actually connecting with like my light feminine and even like my little one. Just the deepest, most tender parts of myself. Mm. Doing inner child work was one of the things that changed my life, because I'd just been neglecting her, because leading with my sexuality felt very safe to me. Mm. It was like, you can have my vagina, but you can never have my heart. And so it's like leading with the slowest, most tender part of me and asking, is it safe? Is this person safe to hold my vulnerability? And unveiling like one layer at a time and seeing how that feels, but really connecting with my body so that I'm not just coming from a mind space. But it's an ever unfolding journey with the feminine. Like, it's never done.
Yeah. Two steps forward and you're no longer having numb sex, you're having painful sex. So it's, I want to go back, right? Like, let's go back five times. Do you, a lot of people do, Michelle, a lot of people go, that's just too much for now. And then it takes, you know, a couple of sort of back and forwards until they're deeply in it. Was any kind of discovery of your own masculine, your own, you know, within, was that key at all in your journey? Because you did tend to externalize it. Give me this, which I need. You did that. Like, you were very, sort of imbalanced, you know, from what you're saying in that regard.
Yeah. And I fully, when I started learning about masculine and feminine, I was like, oh, I've got my masculine. Yeah. He's so good. Like, he's probably 40. Like, my inner man's probably like super mature. And then realized my masculine was actually really immature as well, because the way that I operated in the world was control and possession and, just like, I know better, righteousness. Yeah. And it's been a real journey to be able to get him on board to serve my feminine as well and keep her safe. And so that has been a journey in itself of, it's not like when I date or when I have sex, I can never be hurt again, or I can never feel rejection. That's impossible.
Yeah.
But I know deep within my bones that my man, my inner man, my masculine will support me and protect me no matter what. So I can actually handle anything. Yes, it will hurt. Heartbreak is painful, but I will get through it because I can support myself. And that changes the dating game, because I'm like, I want to spend time with you, but if you don't want to spend time with me, like, that will suck, but I'm actually okay.
Wow. There's no more temptation for addictive behaviors, for outsourcing it. You know, when you're married within, when your primary relationship is the one that you have inside, this masculine and feminine energies, despite your gender, you become magnetic, you become radiant. People are attracted to the woman or the man that walks around with a sense of fullness. Not this needy, manipulative, like, they're fun to fuck for 5 minutes. And then it's like, oh, this is going to be a lot, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, when we're wanting to draw in or connect with someone long term, like we're in our 30s, our 40s, we're looking for someone like a little bit more in it, right? Then these people get snapped up. Because they're living without a need, without a leaky undertone.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, and I don't attract the same people as I used to. Like those people that wanted to engage, because there's a payoff on the other side as well, right? Of them, you know, maybe being my rescuer, and I get to play victim, get to play princess, and save me. So I don't attract people like that because I don't engage in those games anymore. And it's not to say I don't ever have a moment where I'm feeling unsafe and I want to go back to leading with my sexuality, but it's much more conscious of like, girl, we've been there before. And that literally never works out. And yeah, the man that I want to call in for mm-hmm. a long-term partner wouldn't have a bar of it. No. He would not have a bar of my games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And like, if you were to dive in and out of that and just sort of like keep some of those on the side and hope to look for your guy as well. Like I work with a lot of women who are like, no, I can kind of straddle both. I said, what you're doing is that range around you, that energetic circle that surrounds you, right, is currently filled with what you don't want, with bits of leftover habits and bad tendencies. Yes. And when he walks on past, he senses that, like that dream guy, that perfect guy. And you're like, oh, hey, and he can't quite see you because you're covered in the stuff and the energetic resonance of what he does not vibe with. Mm. And so it's when you're brave enough to clear it out and, like you say, single for 2 years, right, and sit with it and go, this is me. Keep refining, keep working. That's when you trip them up. When you trip over them in the middle of a cute coffee store, right? And you're like, where have you been all my life? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I love that analogy because it's like you are energetic. You might be single, but you're energetically taken mm-hmm. right now. And you're sending the message out to the universe of like, actually, you know, oh, I really want this incredible man and na-na-na. But actually on an energetic level, I'll take mediocre.
Boom. Yeah.
So like, actually, don't worry about it. I'll settle for this. And it's a deep fear of like, for me anyways, it was like, I'm going to settle for this guy because I don't actually believe that I'm enough for the person that I want. Yeah. And that was like a really tough pill to swallow.
How many men would you say have you slept with that have truly seen you and truly felt you, that you have let in truly?
I could easily count them on one hand.
On one hand.
Yeah.
Just an absolute fraction, right?
Oh my gosh. That's a very, very small percentage.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Like it was, and I remember the singular moment when I said, like, I'm done with this kind of relating. I had just done Dancing Eros and we had just done the priestess archetype and I was like really feeling my power. I'd slept with this guy for the second time and we were literally mid-sex and he made a joke and called me by my stripper name. And in the past, I would have gone, it's fine. Like he was just making a joke. It's fine. Just continue. You already started. So finish what you started. And I just felt my body just completely contract. And I said, no.
Wow.
I'm actually not available for this. He was like, what happened? I'm like, I don't appreciate that. And I feel like that was a joke. And, you know, he said his thing about, oh, it's just lightening the mood. And I'm like, no, none of this. That's cool. You have your thing and I have my thing and I'm done. And we never spoke again.
And wow.
Since then I was like, I made a declaration to the universe of I'm not available for this shit anymore.
Wow. And when we actually start feeling our yoni or our body speak to us, like you just said, constriction, right?
Yeah.
And we voice it. It's very hard to go back on that. Once you commit to that and do it a few times, like can you ask if you're going to ejaculate in me? Like, can that be a thing we do? Or I've been nervous to say this before, but it would be amazing if you could enter me a lot slower. Or, you know, when we put these things in the ground, whether it's a long-term relationship or casual encounters, I notice it's such a truism, and my body just loves it so much that she's being heard. That's very hard to go back on it. I get it. I'm like, even if I want to override it next time, I get this block. It's like, you can't. So for women listening who are like, oh, I can't make that change that Michelle has done, you know, it's actually, once you start, you reap the rewards quite soon. Yeah. And it's difficult to go back.
Yeah. And, you know, I hear from a lot of women, because I say to men, like, when I first start sleeping with them and I'm building that sense of safety, I need you to ask or let me know before any penetration.
Yeah.
And they're like, I can't say that though. What if he thinks that it's weird? I'm like, that's amazing feedback. Then that's not someone you want to sleep with, probably.
Yeah. Completely.
Because for me, that's a boundary.
Totally. To just be entered with no warning or no speaking. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And we're not taught in our sex ed to recognize when the yoni is ready, when she's open, when we, it's like, does it fit? It kind of, if I push it, it's in. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We don't like, she should suck. Like, there should be a magnet on the end of the cervix, and in a heterosexual coupling in this moment, at the end of the cock or the lingam, and it's literally like drawing itself to get, like, it sucks it up and in, right? If you're totally ready, and if it's this over-reliance on lube or this over-reliance on pushing through those first couple of men, yes, now we're in, and now I can just keep going. Like, you're missing such a glorious stage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it creates further shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, the more that you bypass, the more that I was bypassing myself and doing, like, everything you just said fully resonates of, mm-hmm. like, coming through a whole bottle of lube, and yeah. It's almost like your vagina's folding in on itself. And you're like,
totally.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, for the first, you know, couple of minutes going like, like I'm in labor or something.
Yeah.
And the more that I did that, the more my body would go like, I'm shutting down.
Yeah,
I'm shutting down,
or anymore.
I would have, yeah, extreme amounts of pain, or I'd have, you know, like an infection or something.
Mm-hmm. An infection. Can I pause you? Because I'm speaking to a lot of women and men, actually, who go, I know the connection's not right. I'm bypassing that on a mind and a heart level. But now my genitals are speaking, and I just, with him, I get a UTI over and over and over, a urinary tract infection. Or just with him, it's BV all the time. Or just with her, I'm getting this like fungal infection that won't go away, and she's clear, I'm clear. Like, what is it?
Yep.
Genital consciousness.
Thrush, like, every month for 18 months.
Thrush.
Like, it was constant. Yeah, an infection every single month. And it was when I started to connect with my body, and I was like, I know this connection isn't right, but I kept doing it. And now it's at the point where I will get it before I even sleep with someone. Like, my body's like, cause I go, oh yeah, like I want to rush it, and I want to explore sexually, cause that's my go-to. And then my body's like, nope.
Wow. We can pop pills for this. We can go to the doctor and they can just clear it up and get stronger and stronger and stuff the stomach up while we're doing so. And, you know, all that's available. But, you know, those listening, this is for those who want to go deeper, understand that sex is an energetic practice as much as a physical act of friction. Your body speaks to you. Take ages to get wet, have this weird itchy sensation afterwards, not sure why. His cum does something weird to you that others don't. There is so many ways that your yoni, your vagina, your cock will speak to you. I'm asked this so much, right?
Yeah.
It's so powerful. And it's frustrating because it's like, hang on, no, I'm ready. I want to move on. But there's a deeper wisdom that's asking for slowing down. And that's often, you know, we get really punished later on if we've bypassed for a while. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Yes. I've lived that for a while. Yeah. And it's like, it can be frustrating. I think that's a really good point to speak to, because, you know, I hear that a lot of, well, this is so, you know, I just want to be able to enjoy and I want to have sex. And it's like, it can be frustrating to have to slow down if you've spent your whole life going at 100 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. And it can feel unnatural, yeah. You know, and I've been with men that are like, oh, why is this taking so long? And again,
no, feedback. What do you do?
Yeah. So
when someone says this,
it's really about, because for me, the temptation was to be like people pleasy and go, oh, okay, well, you know, we're 6 dates in, so I guess it's time. But really, it's that piece of safety of like, does my heart feel safe with this person? And when I say, I need a lot of time, even if you do have sex, you know, it's not the 10-minute thing that I was taught to do. It's much longer. And if some man is going to get annoyed at that, then they are not the person for me. That's great feedback.
That's great feedback, because they are saying, what? You're not going to be my cum container tonight?
Ooh, oh, yeah. I love that.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. No, I'm not going to be your cum container tonight. Like, you can masturbate in a tissue in the toilet if that's what you want to do. Like, we're going to reach the stars. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in cosmic dance tonight, brother. So unless you are going to dance with me, then you can go and unload. Because that's another thing. And then we speak to a lot of men on this podcast as well who are like, oh, so that energetic buildup that I just want to sort of release into someone, that's potent life force energy that I can lift up to my heart and I can open and I can be more in love with life, or I can take to a creative project and actually direct it. And then when I make love, it's not so much this like dump truck exercise. It's like, it's like this mutual fostering of pleasure that's got no start and no finish. And so, yeah, listen out for more on that if you're a guy listening and want to sort of dive deep into what's available to you guys there, because it's so not two-dimensional as it's often taught, or as we used to, like a 10-minute, oh, it's in, build it up, and it's over. Yeah, see you. Now I've got yucky underwear for like literally a day, you know? It's full on. Oh, it's a lot to take someone's energy into your pussy. Yeah. And to walk with that. And if you're not feeling great about that, I know, like, you know, my guests share really honestly. I like to share honestly too. And I've had this full womb reset for this month. And it's come after a time for Franco and I, which was powerful, when we suffered when we experienced a miscarriage. And it's been like this forced shut off. And I was like, no, like, I want to, like, what do you mean a pause? I can't stop. Like, we have to, like, but just absolutely allowing my body to do what it wants and for us to connect in other ways. I'm so grateful to have this like reconnection time. And I think that purposefully disrupting the patterning that we all get into, whether it's our casual encounters or our long-term, that's where the excitement and the cell renewal and the new pathways and all that happens. So don't be afraid for that. I'd like to say to the listeners, you work with women now though. And Michelle, you work with women. What kind of issue, what are the most prevalent issues that you are seeing with your clients that come to you for help with intimacy?
Yeah, so I work a lot with people-pleasing women. Women who martyr themselves and have no boundaries, and then probably have a lot of resentment towards if they're with a partner. I work with a lot of single women, but I also do work with women in couples. And so learning to instill boundaries, connect to their body, understand, why do I keep repeating the same relationship over and over and over? The same guy, you know?
Yeah, different hair,
different body. Yeah, exactly. And really examining those pieces and getting in touch with their little one and like, what is it that you actually need? Because so much in the relationship space is like, well, you need to ask for what you need. Yes, you do. But what if you have no idea what that is?
Right.
If you spent your whole life caretaking others, then you go, what do you need? Genuinely no idea. Mm-hmm. So it's about connecting to themselves so they can go, oh, you know what? I actually need this. And then how do I communicate that? So that's a big piece of it. And that goes for dating and relationships.
It really does. There is this bizarre idea that the selfless mother, the selfless woman, the selfless employee that goes above them, she's the best. You know, she's who we should all aspire to be. And it is deeply problematic because it leaves us, I know in my life, I've reached points where I go, I don't know what I want to eat. I should eat. Yeah. What do I eat? You know, having no even connection to my most animal desire. Do I need to use the bathroom? I haven't actually used the bathroom all day. And I've, you know, what the fuck? Let alone, I like my clitoris to be stroked in this way. Then I'd like some anal, like let alone this kind of stuff, you know, it's just like way back. And I think when we're kids at school, we're taught to like grow up and get the certificate and sit nicely and shush and don't be bossy or loud and that whole too much woman syndrome. And we're afraid that if we speak up our needs, then perhaps we won't be loved or we'll be too difficult for someone, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, they speak a lot about the fear of intimacy, right? But I feel like it's like the fear of the consequences of intimacy, right? Like if I speak up for myself, if I get really close to this person and I let this person in, I could be rejected. I could be abandoned. Maybe my needs won't be met. I won't belong. And so I am about, you know, when you're triggered, being able to meet your needs yourself. Right? It's not about flip-flopping and being like, oh, now you need to meet all my needs, because no one's actually responsible for that.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between a request and a demand.
Yeah.
Right? But it's like, how can you just ask for what you need and know that if this person can't meet it, that's okay, because you've got you.
You've got you underneath it all. Yeah. That's the key piece that like, yeah, that is the when that lands for women and men, it's like, oh, right. A lot of that searching, wanting, that unexpressed childhood behavior, really, where the inner child is rising up and just like tantruming, a lot of that dissipates. Mm. Oh, it's actually all right. You know, I don't need to do that. I can be clear on these levels, though. So that is super powerful. In your short time now, experiencing intimacy and sexuality which has these boundaries and this you said that you felt pain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pain in the yoni. How are you working through that? How would you advise to women who are in a similar place on the journey?
So it's still something that comes up for me if I rush it. So I'm still on this journey myself, but for me, doing physical things like, you know, massaging my yoni myself and de-armoring and things like that. And then also working with a coach who can help me to really slow down and listen, because as I said, my tendency is to just go a million miles a minute, but actually asking for support in that this is something that I need help with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to rework my beliefs around what it means to be a woman, what it means to be feminine, what it means to be sexual. What does a sexually thriving woman look like? Yeah.
So you're rewriting that.
Rewriting my story. Yeah. Because for my whole life, it was basically sex is for the man. And if I get anything out of it, then that's a bonus. And I don't want that to be my story.
No, you don't. And you share that idea with so many others that it was programmed. Michelle, I want to ask you now, and I haven't warned you about this question, but what is your secret to spiritual sex?
So I feel like that slowing down and really listening to your body and being able to express everything, all of your emotions.
Wow.
My most incredible sexual experiences have been when I'm sobbing or in the deep fit of rage while having sex. And it's transcendent, really. So opening the channel to just feel whatever is there. It doesn't have to be this like, oh, I'm so amazing and I'm so orgasmic. That follows when we just feel.
Wow. And that is, I love that so much because of who you are, because of what you've been on, because of what you've experienced, you know, you truly know that to be effective and powerful from your lived experience.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Michelle, how can people find you? Because you're a wealth of knowledge. And although your focus isn't in sexuality, it's at the moment in intimacy, exploring that, how to bring the heart into the bedroom, right? How to hold space for her before sort of selling yourself short down below, shall we say. How can people get in touch and receive your magic?
Yeah. So the best way to get in touch with me at the moment is just on Instagram. So it's pretty simple, just at Michelle Panning. And I'm on there all the time. I'm always sharing bits and pieces about my life on my stories. I'm always telling funny things of where I've come from. So if that interests you, and then also giving value as well. So it's a good time over on my Instagram page.
It's a good time. I'm there stalking a lot, and her handle will also be in the description if you didn't catch that. Hey, what a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for speaking through your journey of dancing, of stripping, of using power through your sex, and this amazing realization while you're still young and vibrant and open to stop relying on that as a sole means of getting what you want and taking it to the heart. That's a super big takeaway I've experienced from the session. So
thanks for having me. It was really fun.
So fun. Blessings. The Secrets of Spiritual Sex was brought to you out of the desire to make accessible the latest research and inspiring developments in the field of sex, intimacy, and relationships. There is so much more to sex than friction and brief peaks. And this podcast seeks to provide a pleasure-based sexual education where potential and curiosity are cultivated. Make sure you subscribe and share this episode with your lovers, your friends, and your family. I am Nikki Rhodes, a sex and relationship coach, and you can find me on Instagram at @NikkiRhodes_. Or jump onto my website for more info on courses, retreats, and one-on-one coaching sessions at www.nikkir.com.